Amen. Amen. I'm trying to find out how to have my phone so the screen always stays on, but I thought I knew how to do that, but I guess I don't. Oh well. Let's see. Turn the volume down here a little bit on my microphone. Praise God. Okay, all right, so today I'm going to be speaking on, the cover is on, that's my problem. I was going to say, why isn't this showing anything? There we go. Fellowship and light. There's a connection between fellowship and light. I am primarily today preaching to myself. This is a message that I have needed to hear myself. And if anyone else happens to benefit, then praise God to you. If you happen to be in the same place I am, maybe you'll get something from this message as well. What's triggering this, there are people who are close to me who have told me they desire a closer connection with me. And they're sort of jealous of other relationships that I have that seem to be closer. Specifically, the kind of relationships that I've developed in the Grace Group. And I'll speak about that a little bit later, but there's a connection between fellowship and light. You know, I choose to believe that in this church there is room for the greater love in Christ Church. There's room to grow in love. There is room for us to grow in our connection with each other, to grow in love. I believe there is. I know this because some people have expressed to me that they felt sort of disconnected in this church. They felt like they weren't able to develop the kind of bonds that feel like love to them. I believe there's room for us to grow. I'm not saying we're the worst church in the world. There are other churches I know that are far worse, where people feel hated and rejected entirely. But I believe there is room for us to grow. I want to focus on 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Through verse 7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, what is the result? What is the consequence of us walking in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Notice the direct connection there between walking in the light and having fellowship with one another. If we desire to have greater fellowship with one another, we've got to bring light into it. We got to walk in the light. Now, what does walking in the light mean? If we're going to have fellowship, and fellowship with one another is a result of walking in the light, what does that mean? You know, I'll tell you what I used to think it meant. I used to think it meant that light is purity. Light is cleanness. Light is behaving just perfectly. So as long as you do everything just right, you are walking in the light. That's what I used to think walking in the light meant. I've sort of changed my perception of what light means. Why? Because light means purity. I don't think light here means purity. It does say God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And God is pure, absolutely. But I don't think that's what light is equivalent to. For example, when my sons were teenagers, their rooms looked great as long as you didn't turn the light on. You ever been to some parties or something where the lights are real dim, they just have a few lights and maybe a disco ball going? Man, it looks great, but as soon as turns the whole lights on, there are beer bottles everywhere and things are all messy. But you don't see that because you just have a few of the flashing. There's another passage that says, some people love the darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. So why does that mean they love the darkness? It means that nobody sees their evil deeds. The emphasis, I think light means bringing out to the open what is really there. And if your deeds are evil, you don't want people to know what is really there. Now, you know, there are some exceptions. There are some people who are just plain evil and they want to flaunt it. But that's the exception. Most people don't really want people to know the dark side of themselves. That's why they keep it dark. That's why we hide it. That's why we don't reveal it. Light means what is there can be seen. Turn the light off, you can't see it. Turn the light on, you can see it. Walking in the light, I believe, here means putting ourselves in the position of being seen with nothing hidden. That's what walking in the light, I believe, really is emphasizing. We're not hiding anything. Whatever is here, you're going to see. So what does this passage say? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The consequence of walking in the light is to have fellowship with one another. In God, there is no darkness at all. When we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God because he is the light. You know, when we try to hide our own selves from God, whatever it is we're trying to hide, that's the part of us that's not connected to God. Now, you and I both know he knows everything that's there anyway. But somehow, we think we can hide that part from God. We say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness. We're lying. Now, who are we lying to? Sometimes we lie to God directly, right? Hey, God, look at all the great stuff I'm doing. Doesn't that mean I should get X, Y, Z? But what we're not saying to God is the bad stuff we're doing. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we're lying. And probably we're lying to ourselves, first of all. If we say we have fellowship with God and yet we are walking in the darkness, we're lying to ourselves. We are trying to hide parts of ourselves and yet tell ourselves that we have fellowship with God. God wants to have fellowship with us. He seeks fellowship with us, but when we walk in the darkness, we are deceiving ourselves. Walking in the light doesn't mean just telling God alone what is going on. Isn't that what we would like? It's me and Jesus, and don't bring nobody else into this picture. I can be honest with God about what's going on, but oh man, I can't trust other people with everything that is going on in my life. You know, God doesn't need us to walk in the light for him to know what's really going on. He knows more about me than I know about me. He sees things about myself that it took me years to see. But he knew it all along. And that's probably true of me right now. God knows things about me that I don't even know about myself. I'm still deceiving myself. I'm still hiding pieces of myself from me. But you know, God knows all of that even now, and in the past and in the future. For us to walk in the light doesn't mean we're informing of God of something he didn't know already. He already knows everything there is to know about us. It means others can see it too when we walk in the light. Walking in the light, everybody can see what's going on. You know, I remember we had some discussion about where to put things in this building. And we ended up keeping the lawnmower and everything in the shed out there. One of the things I remember people saying is street lights. People can see what's going on there. Light. Other people can see what's going on. We want that. You know, One of the things that used to amaze me when I worked at the rescue mission, we'd take some groups of guys out to Camp Idrahaji, away from the city. Some of these guys were city guys, and it was scary to them to drive down roads where there are no street lights. You turn the car off and there's darkness. That was terrifying because they wanted light. They wanted people to be able to see. They wanted to be able to see what was happening around them. We know that we have a sense of the value of walking in the light where people can see what's happening. But when it comes to us, maybe that's a little different. Walking in the light means confessing our sins not only to God, but to other human beings as well. Walking in the light. When we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. With one another. The fellowship we feel towards each other is a consequence of walking in the light. You know, what this verse is actually saying is that telling others about our sins actually results in greater fellowship. I'll speak for myself. What keeps me from confessing my sins to people is that I fear the exact opposite. I fear they're not going to want me more. They're not going to want to have more contact with me. They're going to, in fact, probably look at me maybe with disgust or disdain or disapproval, or maybe they'll use this to tell other people, you know what Fred does? Man alive. You know, you think you know him, but let me tell you. And that's what I fear. That sort of stuff is going to happen. And I will be isolated. I'll be cut off from people. But this verse is saying the exact opposite. When we walk in the light, this actually results in having fellowship with one another. One thing that stops me from walking in the light is that I fear judgment, confrontation, rejection. And I'll say this too. I fear that even more with the people that I'm closest to. Because, you know, any kind of judgment, rejection I feel from them is going to hurt me even more than it would be from someone I barely know, you know, who sits in one of these pews, and maybe I see them once or twice, and they you know, they're judging me. I say, oh, well, so what? But if it's someone I'm really close to, man, that is something I really don't want. That fear of judgment is one of the obstacles I have towards in walking in the light. Another thing that keeps me from walking in the light, that means letting everybody see what I'm doing, is that from my perspective, I'm actually more aware of the sins of what other people are doing. That's the real problem, isn't it? So what does what I'm doing have anything to do with how they're messing up? The pain, the problems I'm having in my relationship with this person is not me. it's they're doing X, Y, Z. They're doing that. They're doing the other. And that's the real problem. Why can't they see that? And any time we have a discussion about what it is that's going on between us, I want to turn it into, you're the one who needs to change. That's one thing that keeps me from walking in the light. I want to confess their sins, not my own. One idea I find challenging, I've heard it for a few years, and it really is challenging for me, but it's helpful. The thought is this, that whenever I am bothered by someone, there is something wrong in me. That is like a dashboard light. Beep, 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 there's a problem, 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 problem. I know there's a problem. That person there is the problem. Well, this actually saying, you know something? There's a problem in me too. There's a problem in me too. That's what I really need to try to find out. Why is this bothering me so much? Because that's where I can walk in the light. And that may be a way for me to be able to remove whatever obstacle I'm having in my relationship with this person. I can remember when Jesus was on the cross. Everything about that situation, he was dying. He had been beaten. He had been tortured, he had been humiliated, and he's about to die. Not a single shred of this was a result of his sin. He did absolutely nothing wrong. Man, don't you think he should be furious? Don't you think he should be furious with the people who are doing this to him? But what was his reaction? Said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That was his reaction. Why isn't that my reaction? Why isn't that my reaction when I am bothered by somebody doing whatever it is they're doing? Well, it's because there's still a part of me that's not like Jesus. And that is the problem that I need to focus on. What is wrong with me? Why can't I look at that person with compassion, with love? Why can't I look at this person as another human being like myself that I want to connect with rather than be judgmental and confrontational? Most likely, I'm probably blind to whatever sin it is of mine that's causing my own reaction. There's a time in my life when I was experiencing great difficulties in my job. And I knew there was difficulties. And I was desperate. I was truly desperate to find out what it is I could change to make things get better. I did not know what it was. I literally begged my bosses to tell me, what is it I need to change? What is it I need to do differently? And the answer was, we don't know. It's something in you. Fix it. My lands. It was very painful for me. I know now, after great pain, after some situations that I absolutely did not want, I know that I was blind to my own sin of pride. I was blind to that. Looking back on it now, it makes perfect sense to me that the reason people were bothered by me is that I was coming across like I really knew a whole lot more than they did about lots of things. The 10th step of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous says that whenever we continued to take personal inventory, and whenever we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. I heard someone recently say, whenever we were right, we promptly admitted it. You know, that's much easier for me to do. I will readily admit to you whenever I am right. That is something I am eager to do. I love to do that. I'm probably blind to my own sin, the fact that I'm not always right. It's hard to confess my sin to someone when it's their sins that are bothering me. You know, one of the consequences, is that the right word? It's just part of the whole system of law, is that when you do something wrong, you're going to be punished for it. And if you want to change, well, you should change. And maybe if you feel badly enough about it, you will change. If we make a person feel bad enough about what they've done, then they'll change. They'll stop doing it. That's how the system of law works. Makes perfect sense. And many times it does work. I mean, it's built into our legal system. How many times have you heard reporters talking about some court case and someone's found guilty? Maybe they're trying to get on parole, or maybe it's awaiting a sentencing, and what the judge wants to know is, do they feel remorse for their action? Do they feel bad about what it is they did? Because that's supposed to be what keeps them from doing it again. You do bad, you need to be, first of all, punished, and part of that punishment is feeling bad about it. And maybe that isn't all the punishment you need. You might need some more on top of it. But if you feel bad enough about it, maybe we don't have to throw you into prison for 25 years. Maybe only 5 years. If you feel bad enough about it. So living under the law requires guilt, shame, and condemnation. Living under grace, it's entirely irrelevant. Entirely irrelevant. Isn't that what keeps, well, I won't ask you, I'll ask me. Isn't that, Fred, isn't that what keeps you from admitting your sin, your guilt, your fear of feeling guilt, your fear of feeling shame, your fear of condemnation? Yes. Many times, most times, that is exactly what keeps me from walking in the light. And you know, that's entirely irrelevant when it comes to being saved by the grace of God. See, but pop quiz again. System of grace is what? Do what is wrong and you get the reward. Do what is right and you receive the punishment. So if if we're living under the system of grace, what we really should be ashamed of is our righteousness. Because that's the bad stuff. That's where we're going to get punished. Living under the system of grace, these sins that we can bring out to the light is actually the good stuff. That's actually where God can wipe away our sin, and he's been desperate to pour on us all the riches of Christ. He wants to do that. It's an opportunity for his grace. No guilt, no condemnation. See, but that's hard to do, isn't it? It is not what our natural reaction. Guilt, shame, condemnation about our sins is entirely irrelevant when it comes to living under the grace of God. It is actually the only way to experience the grace of God. Let me repeat that. Our sin is the only way to experience the grace of God. It is theoretically possible to experience God's acceptance, his favor, to be in his good graces. It is theoretically possible to do that by living right, doing everything perfectly right. Jesus said, if a servant who has done everything his master asked of him is still an unprofitable servant. Yeah, he's done everything his master expected of him. He's probably going to get all the rewards that he has earned, but he's unprofitable. He's an unprofitable servant. What God really wants to do is to show grace. The only way we can experience his grace is through our sin. Through our sin. So this very thing that we fear, that we walk in the darkness for, because we fear the condemnation, we fear the consequences that people are going to bring upon us for this sin. So we keep it in darkness. But that is the key to walking in grace, to experiencing more of his grace. When we walk in the light, as he is in the light, guess what happens? We have fellowship with one another. My own feeling of guilt and shame actually prevents me, not enables me, prevents me from walking in the light. You probably haven't been able to tell, this whole sermon has, in one sense, been an advertisement for the Grace Group. Because the only thing we do in the Grace Group, the only thing, it's not a Bible study, it's not a prayer meeting, it's not an accountability group, the only thing we do in this group is we confess our sins to one another as one way of surrendering them to God. That's all we do. It's the only thing we do. And guess what has happened? I've developed the deepest relationships I've ever had with anybody in any church I've ever been to in the context of the Grace Group. There have been times in my life, you know, I've grown up in the church. I've grown up going to Sunday school for as long as I can remember, except for about a year or two period when I was in boarding school and I decided I didn't want to go to church anymore. As soon as I came home, Mom said, "Guess what?" I've been in church, I've been around Christian people, I've known, got to know some people pretty well. And some people I really wanted to have even closer relationships with, but I felt disconnected to some degree. The Grace Group, I've felt the deepest connections I've ever had with any other human being because we walk in the light. What we do is that we shine the light. We let God's light shine on our sin. That's it. A little bit later in 1 John, it says that walking in the light also results in Jesus Christ, his blood, purifying us from all sin. So that is another result. Sometimes it doesn't happen immediately. I'll speak for myself. I may shine the light on my sin, but that doesn't mean it stops right now. But it does mean most of the time, in fact, I will say all of the time, as long as I'm consistent in walking in the light, that sin starts to diminish, starts to go down by a power that greater than myself, that's other than what I can do on my own power. And this is the kind of connection that other people have wanted to have with me, but they can't because I'm not ready to walk in the light with them. I need to do that, not only in the Grace Group. I need to walk in the light even more in all of my relationships. That is a scary thing for me. I don't know if there's anybody else in this room here today that is true of, but it is a scary thing for me to walk in the light, to let the light shine on where I am wrong instead of trying to direct the light to where other people are wrong. And that's the real problem I'm having in my life. Is what they're doing. It's the situations around me. It's Donald Trump is the real problem in my life. That's where I'm much more comfortable with that. It's very hard for me to walk in the light where people can see where I am wrong. I will say this, the deeper, the closer the relationships we have, the harder it is to let other people come in, because there's a greater fear of what's going to happen if people know the truth about us. But whenever we refuse or let go of the opportunity of sharing our sins, letting people see our sins anyway. Whenever we do that, we are walking in the darkness. That's a form, refusing to let other people into that fellowship. We're walking in, it's a way of walking in darkness. I already said this part, so I'm not going to say it again. Light itself, just bringing things into the light, is kind of like a disinfectant of sin. I heard one statement from somebody who's not a Christian, as far as I know, in a context that was very, very different, not anything to do with sin and God and light and fellowship. They said this, he's sort of a science kind of person. This person said, whatever is observed improves. Just the act of measuring something, especially when it comes to human behavior, whenever you measure it, somehow it improves. This is that person's perception. They're a lot smarter than I am, but that stuck with me. And I think when it comes to walking in the light, that is absolutely true. Whatever is observed improves. How do we observe things? They're in the light. When we walk in the light, that by itself. We experience the blood of Jesus purifying us. As I said, this sermon was primarily a sermon to myself to improve in my own practice of walking in the light in all of my relationships. And I certainly have a long way to go. But what makes it possible for me to do that is the grace of God. That's the only reason this works, is because my sin is why Jesus died. My sin is why, when I die, I can expect not St. Peter at the gate saying, "Do you really deserve to come in?" What the Bible tells me is that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. What the Bible tells me is that my Father is seeing me a long way off, and he jumps for joy, saying, "My son who is lost has come home." That's the reaction God has to my sin. That's the grace of God. And you know, that's the important thing. That is the only hope I have. If there's anybody in this room who have not yet decided to rely on the grace of God rather than how well they behave or how good of a Christian they are, but instead, they expect the grace of God because of your sin. If you have not made that decision to change your reliance from relying on your own good behavior, on how many times you come to church, on how well you treat others, but instead rely on, "I am a sinner, saved by the grace of God," I invite you to make that decision today. If you've never accepted Christ before in your life, this is a great opportunity to do it. You can enter this relationship along with me, because I am one of you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to walk in the light. And I thank you, Lord, that when we do this, our fellowship with each other actually grows. I praise you, Lord, for just how in so many ways, Lord. You provide for us. You take care of us. You're concerned about us. You love us. Father, may we, as a result of relying on your grace for our sins, may we, Lord, this coming week, react differently to those who sin against us than we usually do, than we have done, than the way that we want to react to them. Lord, I pray, Father, that the change will take place in our own attitude, that instead we'll want to join with them in fellowship as another sinner who just needs the grace of God. Father, I pray that this will happen with us this week, to us as we relate to those who are around us, people who are closest to us, Lord, and people who are further away, people who know us only casually, Lord. I pray that they'll be able to see your grace, see Jesus in us, see Jesus' love, Jesus' grace coming through us, and that they will want more of that. I pray for this, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Praise God. Service is over. I hope I didn't keep you too long in the heat.